I was talking about that this is the new year. And in the new year, I wanted to start a series. This is a series we're starting today for the new year. So you're going to want to come back because we're going to be continuing this. And this series is called Becoming Fishers of Men.
Amen.
Becoming Fishers of Men. We've got to learn how to become fishers of men. And let me tell you where I'm getting this from. Let's go down to Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And this is where Jesus gets into Peter's boat. And they set out into the water, and Jesus tells him to throw his net over the side. And Peter says, well, we toiled all night long and we didn't catch anything, you know, but because it's you, I will throw my net over. Now, Peter doesn't know Jesus at this point, really. He just met him. But he throws the net over, and then we know the story. He pulls up the net, and it is a record-breaking catch. It is a boat-sinking catch. It takes a second boat. They throw those fish into the two boats, and both boats are sinking. That's how many fish were caught. And at that point, Peter says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He realizes, this is a man of God right here. This man is working the works of the kingdom, and I should have nothing to do with that. Leave me, I'm not worthy, he's saying. I'm not worthy. And what Jesus says to him right after that, he says, from now on, you will catch men. That was from Luke. Now in Mark, he says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And what he is saying there by making you fishers, and we can say fishers of people, because we're not going to leave anybody out. God wants to fish for everybody. But he is talking about bringing people into the plan of God, into the kingdom of God. There are people living according to the world and the way the world does things, and the customs and the traditions and the things that they've learned from the world. And God is saying, or Jesus is saying here, we want to bring them out of that and bring them into the kingdom of God, where they can have health, where they can have happiness, where they can have abundance. And he is saying, I'm going to make you like that, Peter. Well, he didn't only say that to Peter, he said that to us too. He said, we're all going to become fishers of men. And I want 2015 to be the year where we cultivate the traits and the characteristics and the habits that we need to become good fishers of men. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, why is this important for you? You might be asking. Why is this important for you? And I think you've got to understand that there are great benefits for you in doing what God has asked. Sometimes we're so short-sighted, we only want to see immediate benefits for me. Is God blessing me? Do I have my health? And if it's not directly related to me, I don't want anything to do with it. But we got to remember that the plan of God is for us to reach out to other people. And in the reaching out to other people, that's when we receive the promises of God. Say amen to that. That's an important point, because it's easy to get afraid and to get into that selfish mode, and suddenly we're not looking beyond the tip of our own nose. We only want to know if God has blessed me. Woohoo! Everybody else, forget it. As long as I'm blessed, Happy New Year. But that's not the way that it works, you know? And we're going to be talking about that today. Today is part one. Part one is about love. Love. And we've got to have, if we've only got enough love for ourselves, for our only self-interest, then we don't have enough love. And in fact, we don't have love at all. Because God is love. And we are filled with the Spirit of love. Why? So that we can share it. And when we share God, we share the Spirit of love, we share love. And when we share love, something happens to love. Love grows.
Amen.
Love gets bigger. Love can do all things. The Spirit of God can do all things. You might hear it another way. All things are possible with God.
Yes.
You've heard it said that way. But that's what that Spirit of God is doing inside of us. But if we only have enough love to take care of ourselves or interest in ourselves, we really don't have any love at all. The Spirit of God is not working in me. Let's go down and take a look. This is something. Now, we know that Jesus said to love one another, right? He said, love one another. This was his command for us to go and love one another. And if we're only caring about ourselves, then we're really not doing a good job. Now, you might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Ted. I love my cat, and I love my dog, and I love my husband or my wife, and I love my father and my mother. So I love other people, Ted. But he takes it further than that, because it's good. It's good that you're loving your immediate family. You should be loving your immediate family. And sometimes it's not easy to love your immediate family, but really you should be doing that. And I'm glad that you are. And that's a good first step. But Jesus takes it even further than that. Let's look at what John says here first. This is John the disciple, and this is 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, and here he's talking. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Ooh, strong words. He is saying, let's go a little further. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother. So love God, love your neighbor. These are the commands that we are under. And if we cannot love our brother who we've seen, how can you love God who you haven't seen? That's what John is saying. That's a good point. That's a very good point that he's making there. You know, and if you're hating somebody, how can you be love? You can't do both. Love and hate are opposites. So you're either filled with the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love, or you're filled with hate. Okay? There's no in-between here. And if we want the promises of God to work in our life, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. If we want to receive the promises of God, the Spirit of love has to be flowing out of me. And if I let the spirit of hate get in there, or anger, or fear, or frustration, I am blocking and not allowing the spirit on the inside to do the work. And it's me that's blocking it. It's you that's blocking it if you're letting yourself hate somebody. If you're letting yourself hate somebody, you're blocking the love from going to work, the love of God from going to work in your life, which means you will stop receiving the promises. You won't be able to receive them. And it's not that God has taken them away. He has given them. They're still there. He's not going to take them away. But you have now inhibited yourself from being able to partake of them because you have taken yourself out of being in alignment with God. You've taken yourself out of the kingdom ways. We're learning kingdom ways. And if we know kingdom ways, how the kingdom of God works, then we can keep ourselves in alignment with God, with the promises of God, and then we can see the blessing of God go to work in our life. And so, one of our first steps is to love. And it will go a little further, because we heard what John said. John's saying you're a liar if you hate your brother and say you love God, because you can't love God who you haven't seen if you can't love your brother. He's saying it's harder to do that. But we go a little bit further here, and we hear what Jesus says. Jesus says, you have heard. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Whoa. Jesus gives us a new assignment to even love our enemies. Now, why is he saying that? He is saying that because he is trying to tell you how to stay in the kingdom of God, how to stay in alignment with God so you can receive the blessing and the promises of God. And so if we don't stay in alignment, if we say, okay, I'm going to love my family, I'm going to love my neighbors, but I'm going to hate those enemies. Those enemies are bad guys. I'm going to hate them, right? And that's the automatic feeling in our physical self is, ooh, I don't like those guys. I, ooh, oh, they make me mad. Ooh, They get me upset. But he is saying that when that happens to you, this is why he's telling you this. When that happens to you, you get taken out of being in alignment with God. So the Spirit of God, which is on the inside of you, the Spirit of God doesn't come out of you. The Spirit of God is still there. The Spirit of love is still there. But now it can't work because it's being inhibited by your physical reaction, by your emotional response of hating somebody or being upset with them or being angry by them. You now inhibit the working of the Spirit of God so that now you can't receive the promises of God. And so Jesus is saying, love these people. Love them. Not saying that's going to be easy. Not saying it's going to be easy, but there's a benefit for you in loving them. In loving them, you stay in alignment with the Spirit of love of God. In loving them, you receive the promises of God. This is the benefit, is that when we stay in that, if we let ourselves get caught up in the emotion and dragged into it, we now end up in darkness. We now end up in that false place. We don't want to be there. We want to be in this light with God. We want to be in the love with God. Now, let's go down to Romans. Here's Paul speaking. So we heard from John the disciple. We heard from what Jesus said. Jesus said to love your enemies. Now, Paul is speaking. He says, he tells us something else. He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. What is he saying? He's saying, love your enemy. See, it can't just be in words. Words, talk is cheap. Words, we can say, oh yeah, I love my enemies. You know, or we can play word games. I hear people playing word games where, you know, they'll say, well, no, I don't hate them. I just dislike them. You know, God said not to hate them. So I dislike them. You're playing word games with God. He doesn't fall for that. God is seeing your heart. He wants to see what's in your heart. And you can be playing all the word games you want with God, but if your heart is saying, I don't like that person, God knows. God knows. And so we need to be in that spirit of love all the time. So he's not saying just to use words also. Paul is saying there are actions. He says if they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. So he's saying don't just say it, do it. Do something good for them. How many times have we seen at Golden Heart? How many times have we seen that when you let the power of God, the love of God, go to work in somebody's life, it can change them around? How many of you had coworkers where you were in conflict with them? You just butted heads. You just, all every day, this person made your life miserable and you didn't know what to do about them. And you would go home upset and crying and frustrated and think, I just don't know how to deal with this person. They're making my life miserable. And then you turn to God and said, God, I'm going to do what you're saying here. I'm going to love them. And you let that love of God begin to flow out of your heart. And what happened to that person? Suddenly something changed. Something began to change in the person because the love began to transform them. And somebody who you thought was your enemy suddenly became your friend. They suddenly became your best friend because you were loving them. Not saying that it's natural to the physical. In fact, it feels completely the opposite to the physical human, the carnal being. The carnal being wants to rip the enemy's head off, you know, and they deserve it, right? But that's not us because we are spiritual. Amen. We are spiritual, and that's where our power comes from. And so we don't let the carnal man take control. We let the spiritual man take control. And Jesus is talking about that when the spiritual man is in control, he's going to love the enemy. And now listen to what else Paul says. So Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. There is something that happens. See, your enemy is expecting you to hate them. They're ready for that. You hate them. Yeah, bring it on. Oh, yeah, you hate me? Sure. They love that. They love it if you hate them. They're ready for that. But if you love them, uh-oh, You're going to heap coals of fire on their head. You're going to turn their world upside down. You're going to throw them off balance. They're not going to know what's going on in the world if you're loving them, because they're going to, well, wait a minute, this guy's supposed to be my enemy and now he's loving me? They're not going to know which way is up. It's going to throw them off balance. It's going to confuse them. And the love of God, as it comes down upon them and surrounds them, it's going to just be pouring into them. They're not used to that. They're used to the darkness. They're used to the anger. They're used to the hatred. They're used to the falsity. And when you start to pour down the love of God on them, it will confuse them. It will disorient them. It will knock them over. They will wonder, "What? I'm going crazy. What's happening? I don't understand the world anymore. It doesn't make sense." And in so doing, what happens is now God has a chance to change that person. That's how we can be fishers of men with love. We can change them, because suddenly when they're confused and their whole life has been turned upside down and it's not making sense anymore, they're going to be looking for answers. And when that love is pouring down upon them, what answer do you think they're going to find? They're going to find the power of Jesus. It's going to come upon them and they're going to say, "Uh-oh. The world is different than I thought it was." They will no longer be living by the carnal man. You see, if we let our anger and our hatred drive us, if our carnal man drives us to be angry at someone else, now we activate and antagonize their carnal man. So now we have two physical beings fighting when we are spiritual beings. And if we can remember that we're spiritual and that to be good fishers of men, we need love. And now we share that love. Suddenly that Spirit of God, that Spirit of love, will take out the carnal man and put in place, and I don't mean take out meaning dead, I mean, although you might like that with your enemy, no, not that. It'll take him out of the position of control, and it will put the spiritual man in control. If you can get your enemy to switch from having the carnal man in control to having the physical man into control, or the spiritual man in control. Once that spiritual man is in control, he's no longer your enemy anymore. He's going to become your best friend. He's going to become your helper. He's going to become your co-worker, where you're working together with God. This is what's being said here. For us to be good fishers of men, we need to cultivate and practice what they're talking, what Paul is talking about, what Peter is talking about, or sorry, John, and what Jesus is talking about. They're talking about love. They're talking about we need to love our neighbor. And we don't need to only love our neighbor and our brother and our mother. We need to even love those who are hating us. We need to love those who are angry at us. We need to love those who are trying to do something against us. We need to love them, because that's when great things happen. And let's go back to what Jesus was saying in Matthew 5:43. So is it in Romans here, Paul says there's a benefit. In loving your enemy, you're going to throw them for a loop. They're not going to know what the heck happened, because they're expecting you to hate them. And now you love them, you're going to throw their world upside down. But let's go back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. So he says, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends the rain on the just and the unjust." So God's blessing, God's light, God's warmth, his love is coming down on everybody equally. Everybody has an equal opportunity to receive the love of God. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Everybody has an equal opportunity to have their life changed, where they go from living according to a carnal man or a physical man, and they now can live according to a spiritual man. They can have a spiritual life here in the physical. Say amen to that. Amen. Everybody equally. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Now in verse 46 he says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Oh, those darn tax collectors. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, if you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Therefore, if you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So he's saying that if we can love the enemy, if we can love the people who don't like us, if we can let the Spirit of God work in those situations, because it's God's love that's doing the work. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's love that's doing the work coming out of us. And if we don't inhibit that by hating or getting angry, but let the Spirit of God, let God do the work, His love will not only change the life of the person, that enemy, you know, they're not really our enemy, but we've classified them as such, but it will change them to becoming our friend. It will also help to perfect us. This is how we are perfected. How do we get to grow spiritually and become more than we are today? By loving ourselves, by loving what is ours, or by stretching and doing what Jesus says and loving your enemy. That's how you grow spiritually. That's how God perfects you. Therefore, you shall be perfected. You shall be perfect. How do we get perfect? By stretching and letting the Spirit of God, that Spirit of love, go to work, not just on what belongs to me, but even on what is against me. Whatever is against me, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the problem is, it can be bills. If you feel like the bill collectors are against you, let the Spirit of love of God go to work on that problem, because that's the solution. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a co-worker, let the Spirit of God, the Spirit within, does the work. Amen. That Spirit of God, we just have to get out of the way. Get out of the way. Don't let the hate block and inhibit the Spirit of love from going to work. Get out of the way. Let the Spirit within go to work and do it and fulfill it, and we will receive it and we will have the victory and we will be made perfect in doing so. Just get out of the way. It's the Father within that does the work, Jesus said. Let that Spirit go to work and change us. This is good stuff. Say amen to that.
Amen.
This is good stuff. This is how we are becoming fishers of men. We are becoming fishers of men by loving your neighbor.
Amen.
All right, now. Here we go down to 1 John chapter 4. John is talking again. This is the disciple, and he says, therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So again, we go back to the same thing. If we want to love, don't let fear inhibit the love of God. The love of God is powerful. The love of God is eternal. It is always loving. And what does it do? It is always blessing. It is always increasing. It is always healing. That's the Spirit of God. But don't let fear inhibit it. And he is saying, John is saying here, that love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect in love. How do we get to be perfect in love? We get to be perfect in love by not letting the fear inhibit it. Let that love of God, the Spirit of God, cleanse and clean out any fear that you have in your life. Any fear that you have in your life can be cleansed and released by that power of God, which is the love of God. The Spirit of God. Amen? And that's, so we can get rid of the hatred, and we can get rid of the anger, and we can get rid of the fear. We can get all of that stuff out of the way, and this is a choice. It's a choice that you have to make every day. And yes, you've already chosen and said, Jesus, come into my heart. And now you're filled with the Spirit of God and Jesus is in your life and he's not going to leave it. You can't do anything to get rid of him now. He won't go. He's not going to go from you. He's now in here. But in order for us to be perfected and receive the promises of God, we just have to get out of the way and not inhibit him from going to work. Amen. So that he can perfect us, so that he can bless us, so that we can receive all of that, you know, from him. Now, we're gonna be fishers of men. Amen. We're learning how to love. And when we learn how to love God's way, which is just letting the Spirit of love flow out of us, we're going to be able to do great things. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. We're going back to Paul now. I'm hitting you with a little bit of John, a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of Paul. But they're all saying the same thing. Why? Because they're talking to God. And they're letting God work through them. Right? So the same thing. And he says here, this is Paul again, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Amen. We got to make a choice every day that we want to be a part of God's kingdom. We want to make a choice every day. I'm going to choose today not to let the carnal man, I'm not letting the carnal man take control today. No, no, no. I made a choice to have the Spirit of God on the inside, and I have received that through Jesus. I've received it. And today I'm choosing to let the Spirit of love come out. Amen. I've got to stir it up, is what Paul is saying. I've got to stir up the love and the good works. I've got to choose, yes, that's what I want today. I want God, the Spirit within, to do the work, the Father within to do the work. I'm choosing that today. I'm not going to let the carnal man take control today. You know, that doesn't mean Jesus is gone from you. You can't get rid of him, as I said. But you've got to choose every day. See, sometimes people think you don't have free choice with God. But God does give you free choice. Every day you've got to decide, yes, I want God to do the work in my life. Lead me. Spirit, lead me. What do you want me to do? We got to stir up the love and the good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So he was having a problem there. Some people were deciding, we're not going to get together with other people. I've already received the blessing. I've got the Spirit of God. Everything I've got is blessed. Forget about the rest. He's saying, no, no, get together with others. Come together. That's a good fisher of men right there. That's a good fisher of men, a good fisher of people, good fisher of children and mothers and wives, is you get together and now you start to stir up that love. Let the Spirit of God go to work with those other people too. Why should we do that? Let's go down and take a look at something. This is interesting. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Paul speaking. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? This is the God. God has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So he's saying we have a calling, we have a purpose. Before time began, God called us to that purpose. Now, here's the thing, why we want to put to work the love of God in our life, because there are some people who were called who haven't got the notice yet. There are some people out there in the world, and they don't realize yet that God called them before time began. He gave them a purpose, and now they're walking around in the world with no purpose, with no meaning for their life. They're feeling like they're in darkness and they're feeling upset. And you're probably thinking, they're my enemy because they really hate me. When in fact, the problem is they just don't know that they were given an incredible life before time began. God called them too, but they haven't got the notice yet. Amen. And now he's got you to go out and give the notices to let people know you've got a purpose in your life. You don't have to live in sickness. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to be sad or upset. You can be in the love of God all the time.
Amen.
This is why we want to become good fishers of men and why love is so important, because judging them by the cover, if we judge a book by its cover, you know this saying, if we only look at the outside, sometimes we see a person and we think, not very lovable. Oh, I don't think that person's going to want to come to God. But we don't want to judge a book by the cover. We want to listen to the Spirit of God. Where is the Spirit of God leading you today? Where is the Spirit of God? Who does He want you to talk to? Because there are people out there who were called, they had a purpose, God created a plan for them, and they haven't received the notice yet, and you're the one that's going to bring the notice. Liza, I want you to come up here. Recently, and we've been talking about going out and becoming fishers of men. I want to give you an example of that. I want you to see it in a personal and practical way. And recently, Liza met Giselle and started talking to her. Where did you meet her?
Beverly Hills. I was staring at the jewelry store window.
Out on the street in Beverly Hills.
Staring at diamonds.
Looking at jewelry. And here she meets her. And how did you break the ice? What did you say to her?
Well, I was just saying, this is a nice stuff. And she said, yes, I would love to buy some pieces. They're outrageously priced.
It's so you did not follow a little card that's told you what to say to her?
I did not. But I said, you know, you can have all of that and more. I said, oh, I've been waiting all my life, and I've been waiting for a nice guy to come into my life to buy me all this stuff. I said, no, you can have all of that. Do you want me to pray with you? He said, yes. So we prayed right there.
Amen.
And immediately, she was so grateful, and things opened up for her. And now she's coming to Golden Heart, and we are putting our praise and our faith together to help her overcome the illness that she has. I didn't know that she needed God at that moment.
Amen.
God just told me, He prompted me through diamonds, through jewelry in Beverly Hills, staring at the expensive pieces. He prompted me to say a few words of faith with her. And it was funny because we were at this, display, you know how they have windows. Mm-hmm. And these guys who owned the store, they were looking at us thinking, what the heck these two women are doing in front of our window? We were praying and praising God.
Amen.
She received the Spirit right there, and she was transformed in a second.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
So that's an example right there. Yeah, say amen to that. Let's give her a hand. That's an example of being a fisher of men right there. Where does it happen? It can happen anywhere. Who is it? It could be anyone that God calls us to. She did not know this lady. For goodness sake, they're on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. You can't be praying there. Can you? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And that's the whole thing here, is that... And did she follow a specific card or way to speak to this lady? No, she let the Spirit of God lead her, and they broke the ice. Talking about diamonds, ice. They broke the ice. And as a result of that, here Giselle is receiving the blessing of God, the Spirit of God, healing from God. Her life is turning around in amazing ways. That happened because somebody wanted to be a good fisher of men. Somebody heard the voice of God, and somebody acted on it out of love. Say amen to that.
Amen.